Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program on this beautiful day of Jumu'ah. And it is, we spend it with Mulana Salman Yunus, Hafidhullah. The date today is the 27th of Safar 1447. Let's welcome Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you keeping, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mulana keeping?
Alhamdulillah, all well. Alhamdulillah, Mayo. Every time on a Friday, I only remember you because I only look at the blue sky. I'm thinking of what Mulana said.
Gee, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, beautiful day of Jumu'ah, always something that we look forward to. And the Jews and the Christians, they were given this day, but they fought or something. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, it comes in the hadith, and then it was taken away from them, and Allah said, yeah, you take this day, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's a huge, big blessing.
And what a day, man. Besides the Muslims, even the non-Muslims are happy on this day. They're happy for other reasons, and we're happy for other reasons.
Gee, I remember when, it's so strange, when I was working for a non-Muslim company, right? This was before Alim and that, a recruitment company and that. So on 10 to 12, if they just saw me 1 minute sitting in my desk or my chair, the non-Muslims will tell me, what you're doing? Why are you still here? Manager will say, go, 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 you must go pray now. They will chase me out to go pray. And before that, I worked for a Muslim organization. I won't say which company in that. But you had to leave 20 past 12 only on the dot. You can't go earlier, can't go later, that's up to you. If you work more, they get more happier. But 20 past 12, you must leave. So what preparations can you make from 20 past 12, because that's now you're rushing to the masjid and the rest. So this is what we urge our Muslim organizations. We must set the examples for our employees and put down those shutters. Put it down. You can open, Quran Sharif says you can open, do business after Jummah. But for that period, put down those shutters. And there'll be a lot of blessings in barakah. Here in Lens, these major organizations like these, Frontline in that. I'm not advertising for them or anything, but one thing we must say, that for Jumu'ah, you'll see they closed and most of their staff is non-Muslim. So they also get to relax. And as you said, Mulana, they look forward to these things then. And you give them reason to enjoy, and they look, hey, Friday's a nice day, we get it this time off and that. So it's something amazing.
Well, that's the reality while we're facing. And just the other few weeks that we're discussing, like, the virtues of Jumu'ah and things in the Musalla I'm at. And one of the aspects we spoke about, the hadith relating to Jumu'ah and coming early for the Jumu'ah Salah and the reward attached to it. And then what you find happening, especially when you see in the CBD area and you get brother, fellow Muslims who are workers in the shops, and they come and ask you, what must we do? That we want to come for Salah, we understand it also, but due to our work, we can't come. And the bosses are Muslims, the managers are Muslims, so they don't even know what to do. And like many a times we find the same things throughout the business practice, throughout the business world, that unfortunately the Muslims in general have gotten a very bad reputation. They speak to all Muslims, they say, I'd rather work for a non-Muslim than to work for a Muslim, because he treats me better, he understands my working rights better, my leave is fine, there's no argument, nothing. But just for some reason that we have this mentality that if I'm a Muslim and I got a Muslim under me, then it's as though I can take advantage because we both from the same religion, which doesn't make sense. And what we can say is, what we can see is one of the reasons of the non-Muslim businesses getting a better reputation, and they're hiring, they're recruiting, they're paying also of the staff being better. As such, you got all the right ingredients. So obviously your businesses are going to last if you're looking at the terms of the world, in the running of the world, in the system of the world. Then that is the ingredients for the good business practices. Your staff is happy, you're going to have a good working outcome. And on the opposite end, you find that many of the time, we say this here, and we laugh with some of our friends, we go to the shops, and we say, we can just see this is a Muslim-owned supermarket, and this is not a Muslim-owned supermarket. By the way it's run, by the professionalism, by the way the staff is, and why has it become such? That is one aspect. The other aspect is regarding the way the staff are treated and the way they should be treated. And as we have mentioned, that when it comes to these aspects of deen, that the non-Muslims uphold it even better than the Muslims themselves. They want us, they don't want to make it seem as though they are infringing on our religious rights. They have understand the importance and they say, go, go. They say, we'll finish it off even. Whereas we find our Muslim businessmen, that they pull till the last moment. And one of the aspects that we were discussing was that, you know, many businesses, they give the staff off before Jummah, and immediately after Jummah, you have to be back at work. So what this does, this basically includes your lunch break within the time of Jummah. So you are closing maybe 12 o'clock, 10 past 12, and that's your lunch break as well as your Jummah Salah, and at 1 o'clock, you must be back at the work. So they come and they say, you know, we know we want to come early for Jummah, we want to do these things, but this is the reality of the on the ground. If we don't eat before we come for Jummah, then when do we have a chance to eat?
Mm.
And they wanted to know how to juggle this year.
Mm.
And the only answer we can give is that you have to make dua. And on those Fridays which you are off, on those Fridays which you are not at work for some reason, then on those Fridays, then make it a point that I will go early for Jummah. Mm. And Allah will see this desire, Allah will see that want in your heart, then Allah Ta'ala will open up the favorable conditions going forward.
Mm.
But as Muslim businessmen, we have to really address these issues, that what is happening. One is, there's so many matters to go into it. And I just sparked a thought in my mind bringing this up. But there's so many issues to go into a Muslim businessman, that what is really happening, the way the staff are getting paid, the way they are being treated, the vulgarity that is being used, the manner of handling matters, the corruption that's taking place. And at the same time, on the other end, these same businesses are giving so much of charity, so much of charity. And I think it's from the mindset that stems that because I'm doing so much of good, then it doesn't matter about the wrong, which is totally incorrect, totally incorrect.
Mm.
Many a times we say, pay your staff the right amount, treat your staff the right amount, and give no charity even. But do what the people's rights are upon you, fulfill their hak better.
Mm.
And then they'll come, no, but if we're not going to give the charity, who's going to run the madrasas? Who's going to run the masjid? That's Allah Ta'ala's work. That's not your work. We should be grateful Allah is using us. We should be grateful Allah is giving me the chance to utilize this money where it could have been squandered in all haram means, in all wasteful means. Allah is giving me the chance to utilize this money to do some khidmat of deen. To do some khidmat of deen that I'm building my akhirah. But that must never be an excuse for all the other wrong practices that is happening in the business. That for all the other underpaying staff that I'm doing, that should never be the reason. And then you want to know why the staff is stealing, why did they want to work for me with loyalty. If you are treating a person like such, very simply I put it to one person one day, he came with this discussion. I said, imagine that staff is buying lunch, going to pick up your lunch, and he's seeing the amount your lunch is costing is equal to his wages for the week. Does that make sense?
Mm.
That staff is seeing you going for Umrah every second, third month. But to increase his salary by 100 rand a week or 1 rand a month, then you're crying about that. That staff is seeing you pulling out a new Merc, a new BMW, and you don't want to even pay him a livable wage. So these are issues that, you know, like prevalent issues, but unfortunately, it doesn't want to be spoken about. It doesn't want to be mentioned because people are scared that if I'm going to speak out, then this businessman is going to drop me. He's no more going to fund me. But the haq needs to be spoken. And that is when deen is going to come alive. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were businessmen. And they spread deen mostly when they went to other countries by people watching their business practices. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave such great rewards and merits for a Muslim, honest Muslim businessman, a tajir. What great rewards and advices or encouragement was given for a Muslim businessman. Because it's not an easy thing to do. Going to business is very difficult. One is the risk involved, and the other thing is your moral compass that is there, where I can cheat, I can steal, I can bribe, I can rob, but I know Allah is watching. And where I can make so many millions more, but it can be with interest, or it can be through haram means, compared to doing it correctly and losing all that. So business is not easy. We're not saying it's easy, and it's not an easy test for the nafs, for oneself. But if we are going into that field, like we always hear many times in the khutbah, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيبَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, that the seeking of knowledge is compulsory upon every Muslim. And what knowledge? Whatever field, one is the basis of being to live as a Muslim in the world, that's what we have to know. And what after that, whatever field of work we are going into, we have to have the Islamic knowledge on that field. You can't go into it and not know the Islamic knowledge and how to run it. And after all the problems, now when I run to the alim, run to the mufti, please help me, I don't know what I'm doing, whether I'm doing it right, I'm working out my zakat correctly. So these are common issues that are happening. And if you look at it, the day of Jumu'ah, which is the most auspicious day of the week, that on this day, at least on this day, every Muslim business says, you know what, to send a message to the kuffar world, to send a message to the disbelievers, that we are united on our special days. And how sad it is even when we come to the days of Eid, we find businesses are open. And Muslim staff are there. They want to spend time with their family also. But the boss is spending time with his family. And yet the Muslim staff know, you must come to work. You must be here. Have we forgotten where money comes from? Have we forgotten who is the giver of money? I can be open one day in the entire week. Allah can give me all the rosy for that entire week in that one day. And I can be open 7 days a week, 24/7, 365 days a year. And Allah can make it such that I still won't make that business work. The problem is our focus has shifted. Our focus has terribly shifted. And just the other day also, one person said, you know, all these people, we are paying their salaries. We are businessmen, we are paying their salaries. And you must understand also when to argue a point or when to try to justify a point or try to make the person understand. And it wasn't the scenario because of what the circumstance was. It wasn't a scenario to try to make him understand that you are not paying the salary. Allah is using you. Never ever feel I am doing this here. It's the system of the world. You need workers, you need bosses, you need ulama, you need mechanics, you need engineers, you need everyone. And everyone got their role to play in the whole world cycle. So if Allah is using us for the khidmat of deen, then we must thank Allah. Never ever become proud, never ever become arrogant. That see how much I'm giving for this masjid, see how much I'm giving to this Darul Uloom, the Ijtima came now, I put all of this here. And this is Allah's favor. This is Allah's favor. Otherwise, what stopped me, what stopped Allah from making me use that money on drugs, from making me use that money in haram, going to these countries, that country which is full of filth? Nothing. It is only through the mercy of Allah that Allah kept me. That's why in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, very beautifully Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put it to, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فِتْنَةً وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّةِ الْمَالِ. That every ummah has a fitna. And the fitna of my ummah is wealth. The fitna of my ummah is wealth. And this is a very mixed up topic because whatever is coming to my mind, I'm just saying, but if you look at what's happening in the world, the Muslim countries are sitting with the wealth of the world. They are sitting with the wealth of the world. So now if you were to tell them that why are you not using your money to help the people in Gaza, in Syria, why are you not doing that there? You got the gold, you got the oil, you got everything. You got all the power, all the money. What's stopping you? It's only the mercy of Allah that we have, that Allah allows us to use it. And what's stopping us from using it correctly is Allah Ta'ala doesn't want us to use it correctly. Allah wants that same wealth to be a means of destruction for us. Allah Ta'ala wants that because we became proud and arrogant to think that wealth is status, that wealth is honor, that because of wealth, no one can tell me anything. And unfortunately, we see, alhamdulillah, we started the series on Nuh Ali, on the Anbiya, and last week we discussed Nuh Ali Salam, and we continue. And one of the things we discussed was that the leaders of the people, because of the wealth they had, the status they had, the position they had, they felt superior. They never want to sit with the poor. They never want to sit with the weak. And that's why they never come to listen to the message of Nuh alayhi salam. They wanted the poor and the weak to go away. This pride entered their heart due to their power, their status, their wealth. And this is a sickness from that time, which we see is still prevalent up till this day. As we see for ourselves, you walk into a masjid, you walk to anywhere, the rich are greeted, the wealthy are greeted. Why? People got it, this person can do me a favor, this person can help me out. And the normal, the person that enters five times salah, who is in the sight of Allah more pious than anyone, no one gives him any due. Because our focus has shifted from what is true honor. What is true honor? True honor is only in what Allah says honor is. Wealth can be snatched away anytime. Wealth can be gone. Businesses can become looted. Businesses can burn to the ground. And we saw in so many countries that overnight the currency changed. Millionaires became paupers. Overnight. And with the current world that we're pushing towards a digital currency, that's the whole ploy. What stops them from just deleting your whole bank account? And where, what proof you're going to have against the banking system? Nothing. So we have to realize the wealth Allah has given us. This is a means of us getting our Jannah. This is a means of us getting our Jannah. Never ever sacrifice our Jannah, our Akhirah for this dunya. Keeping that shop open for half an hour more, you might get customers. And we always explain in this manner, that's the most busiest time. The time of Jummah is the most busiest. And you say, that's where the test lies. That's where the test lies. If it's quiet, then where's the test from your side? What is there for you to prove your love for Allah then? It's like a person being told, you know what? Tell a small child, here's a nice plate of rice, plain rice. Don't eat it. You're sitting here only, don't eat it. The child will say, hey, it's so easy. It's not even appealing to me. It's not even interesting. But then you put a whole nice packet of marshmallows, some chocolate, some sweets, and now you tell that child, don't eat it. Now you see the child's hand wanting to go closer, wanting to grab. Why? Because that's where the test of the child lies, in what he likes, not in what he doesn't like. So very similarly, Allah Ta'ala tests us in the point of our life which is most important and which we like the most. So we'll find the whole morning on a Jummah day, maybe it's quiet, or even on a general day. And at the time of Zuhr, at the time of Asr, now you'll find customers are coming. Customers are coming. And now you already had an intention. No, I'm going to close up for Asr, I'm going to close up for Zohar, I'm going to go for Namaz, I'm going to close up early for Jummah. And now the test comes. What will I do? Will I realize this is a test from Allah? Allah just wants to see what I'm going to do. Whether I'm going to be true that I was closing up not because I wasn't getting customers. I was closing up because I wanted to go for Salah. That's why. Whether I had customers or not was irrelevant. But what was my intention? Was it that intention? Or now when I see you tell the staff, okay, wait, five more minutes, keep the doors open, keep the doors open. And before we know it, we're rushing just to make it in time for khutbah. So we have to ponder, we have to realize that Allah tests me in what I love. Allah tests me in what I love, and that is what a true test is. And often this is going to happen. But if we, and it's very hard, we have to take training, we have to go sit with the mashayikh, we have to sit in the khankah, we have to sit with the islah programs, we say alhamdulillah this weekend in Azadwil. The Islahi program is taking place, Islahi Jalsa is taking place. What a great gathering of our nafs. That when you sit in those programs, it's as though it's addressed to you personally. That I'm only worried about myself, correcting my ego, correcting my pride, my anger, my greed, my nazar. It's about you being corrected. And when we focus on ourselves and correcting ourselves, we'll see the whole world will get corrected. So now, when that time of Salah is coming, am I going to close that shop? Customers are there, but I have to tell them, please wait. And remember, we have to keep on reminding, Allah does this. Allah is in control. Allah is Ar-Razzaq. Allah will give. You might think, hey, so many customers now, they're going to go to the shop across. That's Allah's decision. But what's stopping Allah that after you open again, double the amount of customers come? And even if no customers come, Allah Ta'ala works in mysterious ways. The wisdom of Allah we can never understand. But just we give these examples for people to ponder and to think that had you kept your shop open till the latest possible time and you were flooded with customers, you made a killing. You made a killing. But after that, what happened? There's something broke in the shop, or SARS came to you, or this happened. And that same money that you made in that time got all wasted away in expenses. Gone. He had all the headache of dealing with it on top of that, and now you have to pay for everything, and it's gone. Whereas Allah Ta'ala says, you know what? This money you have for this day is enough for you. No difficulty will come, no expenses will come. This money is enough. You'll have no stress, no headache, alhamdulillah. So we have to look at it through the wisdom that Allah is blessing me with. As long as I'm doing what Allah wants, I have nothing to worry. Allah will take care. Allah will provide. Look at how many Darul Ulum from what we started, Dioban from under a tree, our local Darul Ulum living South Africa from one small house to what they are now. Did you think they had their vision set on, I need this sponsor, I need these donors? No, they started off. And Allah put it in the hearts of people that go to this person, see where he's teaching, and go and offer him this land. Go to him and offer him to build. Go to him and offer him, you will cover this. Allah puts the heart, the love of the pious in the heart of the people. Our job is to become that pious person. Our aim is to become that pious person. Mm. They said that to perceive oneself as pious is forbidden. You should never perceive yourself as pious. However, it's mandatory upon ourselves to strive to achieve piety. To strive to achieve piety. So this whole discussion got wrangled around from one side to other side, but I think they all connect eventually that we have to realize our focus on Allah. That Salah is coming, Jummah is coming, Zohar is coming, Asr is coming every day. How are we there? And now especially was it like Fajr was late now in the winter months. Many workers they told, because in the business area, and I speak to them, I say, hey, I don't see you coming for Fajr, I'm missing you. You say, you know, I have to go open shop, the boss wants me there, so I can't make it for Jama'at. Mm. So we have to focus again that our success does not lie in the world. It does not lie in the systems in the way of the world. Our success lies in following the commands of Allah, obeying Allah, doing what Allah loves, and Allah will give us everything. We don't even have to strive so hard. Before we're opening 5 o'clock in the morning, closing 7 o'clock at night. Now we'll find we're opening later, closing earlier, we're getting the same amount. This is Allah. So that whole aspect of workers and how we're paying them, how we're treating them, that is vital for our business also. Remember, they got haq over us. They got rights over us. And imagine, they got families to go to. How would you feel being paid that little? How would you pay your rent? How would you pay this year? And often they say the minimum wage went up. And they're complaining about the minimum wage coming up, 1 rand, 2 rand, whatever it is. But yet, every day on without fail, what's your normal expense? Don't say, I'm the boss. Mm. You're a leader. Lead by example. Do what is in the best interest of your staff. Pay them that more. Share that profit. And wallah, you'll see that business flourish. You'll see that business go from strength to strength with that loyal staff who is committed, who is ready now if you need them to come, they let extra time. They're willing to come. They understand that we are part of this business. We are not just a worker. You're not just going to throw us out at any time. And the vulgarity and all these things that I use as a Muslim businessman, it should never be part of us. This is our doubt, how we interact. And why do we feel that to interact with non-Muslims, we have to show better? But when you're dealing with our own Muslims, we behave in a filthy way, in an uncouth, whatever word you want to use, not in a way that is meaningful. Especially if a person of iman.
Mm.
So a discussion on business and thing, I think deserves a whole segment on itself. But I think the message is quite clear for this week, inshallah, alhamdulillah, however it came out, about realizing that wealth Allah has given us, utilize it correctly. Pay those that are deserving correctly. And if Allah is using us to fund avenues of deen, then thank Allah. Because Allah can use anyone, and Allah will use anyone to keep the deen going. We have to ask Allah, use us. Same as us being ulama, we have to make dua Allah, use us for the deen, accept us for the khidmat of the deen. There are many ulama out there that we don't know about. They are doing such great work. And at the same time, there are many ulama also that's not doing any khidmat of deen. It's not within our choice. It's within the fazl of Allah, the karam, the kindness of Allah. We have to keep on making that dua Allah, you use us, you accept us, you use us, you accept us. And like this, whether it's in our wealth, with our family, we also have to make the dua. Allah, you accept my wealth for the deen. You accept my wealth. And picture your castles being built in Jannah. Well, I don't know if you have anything else to add right before we finish.
MashaAllah, great message, important message as well. While you were speaking, Mulana, I was reflecting when we were in like Bangladesh, India, these places. So sometimes it was amazing. You go to some shops to give dawat and, you know, tabligh and that. So they would say, okay, come, we're gathering all our employees here, and you must tell them and speak to them. So the mutakallim, he will give. And what's the belief? Basically, you're calling people to the masjid to perform salah, all of this. But what was amazing is the owners they are encouraging this environment. And they even say that we want our workers, they must go out 4 months once a year and all of this year. So the benefits, and we used to ask them, like, "Aunt, don't you fear that you have to get another employee?" They said, "Allah provides and Allah opens up doors." See, our empowerment. And that wasn't that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu always seeking to empower people for the pleasure of Allah, freeing them, taking them out of slavery and the rest. Just on this year also, while Mulana was speaking, Rosy sustenance. We must look at this verse 132 of Surah Taha. So when we telling our workers for Jummah, that is we have to do. But I'm saying even tell your workers every Salah, you must go to the Masjid. You must pray your Salah. And that's what Mulana is advising. And for our household as well, in this verse 132 of Surah Taha, chapter 20, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Instruct your family to perform salah and you yourself adhere to it. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقَ. We do not ask you for sustenance, Allah is saying. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. We give you sustenance. So in this verse, there's a great connection between salah and sustenance. And that is what Mulana is saying. That is our message. Let's bring about the Salah as well as the other good messages of improving our businesses, our business relations, human resource relations, all of this. Yeah, an important message. But inshallah, we'll have a topic for this exclusively on another day. Mulana, jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.